tell you about Public Square. There are several lines that meet other edges.
Youth of this country who are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margins. Sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To be a state of dismantlement if Parliament does not raise this money.
And controversial.
If driving through the roads is a getting the macabre down, compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Aroho Obo at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
Welcome back to the Public Square, 99.3 Nigeria Info, and I hope that you have been enjoying our coverage of the AFCON. And we're taking a break today because the men have been separated from the boys, and can understand how relieved we are that Super Eagles are still in, and more relieved also to the wonderful sports crew. Femi and the gang can continue to inform and engage you throughout the rest of the tournament. We wish the Super Eagles all the best that they do get to the finals, and my dream finals will be the Super Eagles versus the Indomitable Lions of Cameroon, and we can get our pound of flesh back from them in Yaoundé. But we have discussions here on the Public Square, and Square has been opened already by Ayo, and Ineobong Usen will continue the discussion with us for the next half hour thereabout. Remember, Public Square, talk about all of the big important things, development, politics, and we're continuing with the special programs in partnership with Wole Soyinka Center for Investigative Journalism, a special focus on education. Like I said earlier on, Monday is the World Education Day. It's a resolution Nigeria and scores of other countries came together to mark this time every year. It's been on since 2017. So it's going to be marked officially on Monday. We did try to get in touch with the presidency, and Fela Bank Lemo, who's a senior special assistant to the president on education, unfortunately, he's got his hands tied, and he was wanting to join the conversation this evening, but cannot for several official reasons, meetings here and there. But Ineobong will help us look at today's topic, and then Rotimi will join in. We're looking at perspectives on Nigeria's education sector budget. Perspectives on Nigeria's education sector budget. Don't forget, you can always join the conversation at Nigeria Info FM, on all our social media handles, at Public Square NG, at Rotimi Sankore, and at Aoho Obo. Any of these handles, you can have the conversation with us. And on WhatsApp questions, would love to hear from you in comments. 0809-597-5805. Again, 0809-597-5805. And at some point, I'll open the phone lines so you can talk with us. Great to have Ineobong join us again. Hello, Ineobong.
Yeah, hello. Sorry, I'm trying to connect my hands.
Ah, excellent. Okay. And while he's at it, Ineobong Usen a senior research and policy analyst at Budget. He's been very busy today on several media interviews. I was joking with him that every time I turn either the TV on or turn the radio, I sort of get to hear his voice. And I guess he has something very important to talk with us today. Thank you again very much for joining the conversation in your bunk.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, brilliant. So let's get into the discussion straight away. The 2021 education budget is our focus, and we sort of want to have an idea of the general findings of budget around what the education budget 2021 education budget rather for last year. What were the general findings you found out?
Okay, before I speak to 2021, I just want to do a sort of brief trend analysis.
Right.
So we need to see where we are coming from, right, to be able to understand why we are where we are, right? So in 2016, the capital envelope for the education sector generally was about 35.43 billion. And the envelope, interestingly, moved from that to about 102.9 billion in 2018, right? But interestingly, in an election year, which was 2019, it dropped from 102.9 billion to 58 billion. And it rose to 75 billion in 2020, and we, you know, it was at 156.1 billion in 2021. However, in our space, we try to not only focus on what the allocation to, you know, the sectors are, but even focus more on what the actual spending usually is, because you could come up with estimates, but that would be predicated on what exactly it is you get in terms of revenue. So you cannot spend what you do not have. Now, for all of these years, the trend we saw, you know, was that, for instance, for 2016, that there was an allocation of 35.43 billion, right? What was disbursed to the health-related and the education-related MDAs, right, was 22.65 billion. But then something interesting happened. So usually when these MDAs get their allocation in the budget,
right?
Then the Office of the Accountant General, right, in collaboration with the Ministry of Finance, does the disbursement to these MDs. However, a trend that we have noticed, right, over time is that the utilization, right, of these funds that have been released to these MDs,
right,
is usually not what you would expect. So for that particular year in question,
right,
out of the 22.65 billion naira that was disbursed to the MDA, they were only able to spend 20.84 billion, right, in that year. Now, it might feel like, it was close to a 91 or 92% utilization of that fund.
Right.
But if you look further into recent years, in 2020, for instance, right, the federal government has made a disbursement of 79 billion to the education sector.
Good.
But they were only able to utilize 40 billion, meaning that they had to return almost half of the funds that had been disbursed to them for capital spending back to the treasury. So if that is the case in a particular budget year, right, that you have to return almost half of whatever it is that was disbursed to you as an MD,
right,
what is the rationale for now asking for more in subsequent budget years? So that's the challenge we're having. And in 2021, it was even worse, because the data we have now is data as at June 2021. And the data we have is that out of the 33.6 billion, right, that has been disbursed to health-related sectors, only 3 billion, 3.7 billion
have been utilized.
Wow.
So they still have over 30 billion in their kitty to implement capital projects for that particular sector.
Hmm.
So it's quite problematic that NDAs are able to access disbursements from the federal government,
right,
but are not able to spend. So we now have a spending problem. That is what it would seem.
Hmm.
And we are sort of doing our little research into why there are issues with utilization of disbursements by MDAs,
right,
at the federal government level. At the state level, we were not seeing this sort of trend with the implementation of their budget or the utilization of disbursements to the respective MDAs.
Wow, this is really interesting to imagine that year in, year out, they're asking for monies for projects, and at the end of the day, they're not using the monies and they're returning and then asking for more. Because the next question I'm going to ask you, you probably have provided the answer. Maybe you can give us some more insight into if the 2022 budget is an improvement on the 2021 budget, where are the differences between both the figures in both budgets?
So for the 2022 budget, in terms of the capital outlay for the 2022 budget,
right,
I think he improved from 156 billion in 2021 to now to about 200 billion in 2022. However, like I said, we need to keep our eyes on what exactly the disbursement and the utilization of these disbursements are.
Mm.
In this current year,
right,
and that's important because all of these estimates,
right,
have been geared towards achieving specific development objectives, especially as it relates to the education sector.
Mm.
So, if you look at key performance indicators, for instance, with the number of out of school children,
right
now we have about 10.5 million out of school children. And I think the target is that they want to reduce it to about 5 million out-of-school children by 2025.
Hmm.
If you look at the literacy rate and interesting data, so in 2004,
right,
the literacy rate, adult literacy rate, was about 57%.
Hmm.
And when the development plan for that particular period was done,
right,
the government had planned that it wanted to increase literacy rate to 65%.
Good.
But it would interest you to know that as of 2018, literacy rate stood at 63.3%. What does that tell you? That between 2004 and 2018, despite all of the funding that has gone to the sector, literacy rate has increased by only about 6.3 percentage points. So, the efficiency of government spending,
right,
needs to be critically addressed. How much are we spending vis-a-vis, right, the key performance indicators?
Mm.
If you say you have been pumping this amount of money into this sector over the years,
right,
how have you been able to move from where you are to where you need to be? These are the sort of assessments,
right,
that we need to begin to do, aside even the envelope allocations.
Absolutely. In case you just joined the conversation on Public Square, we're focusing on Nigeria's education sector budget, and it's a precursor to the World Education Day, which happens on Monday. And we're asking big questions from Ineobong Usen, who is senior researcher and policy analyst at Budget. And don't forget, if you've got questions, I'm going to take questions on WhatsApp, 08095975805. Again, 08095975805. And at some point, I open up the phone line so that we can talk one with another. So let's look at this, Ineobong. If you got a dashboard and we look at the levels of education, primary, secondary, tertiary, how much was allocated to each level in this year's budget? And let's see if we can do a compare and contrast with the 2021 budget. That's the different levels, primary, secondary, and tertiary.
So, as stipulated by the Constitution, the different tiers of government have their separate responsibility. For primary education generally, right, it's supposed to be the primary responsibility of local government.
Right.
Secondary is supposed to be for the state, tertiary for the federal government. However, right,
right,
the federal government has provided the BEC funding, that's the Universal Basic Education Fund, to support subnational governments, you know, in implementing some of their education sector related objectives.
Hmm.
But the issue we've seen across board is that this is supposed to be like a matching grant.
Hmm.
So the federal government, for instance, says, okay, I would support you with, let's say, 2 billion, but you have to match that grant to 2 billion, unless you will not be able to access what I'm willing to give.
Right.
But what we've seen across board with a lot of states is that this UBEC funding is just lying fallow because these state governments have not been able to match the federal government's funding for universal basic education.
Right.
And that tells you the priority of government at the subnational level.
Mm.
I know whenever we speak about budget issues,
right,
the focus is usually on the federal government alone, forgetting
right.
that the federal government only gets about 56%
right.
of, you know, federally collected revenues.
Right.
The remaining of that goes to the state government and the local government. So citizens now they need to begin to pay attention to what is happening in the state.
Right.
And that's why even at budget, we try to do that assessment at the state level with our state of states reports to see the fiscal performance of, you know, the 36 states and sort of try to do a ranking and check to see what the priorities of these subnational governments are, especially as it regards critical social sectors and infrastructure.
And you know something, in Neobong, what usually dominates conversation, especially for education in this country, has been tertiary institutions, and not for any good reason. It's been more of the strikes that have happened year in, year out. And if you think about the needs assessment carried out in universities in, I think this was during former President Goodluck Jonathan's tenure in 2011, where it was required to revamp the entire country's tertiary institutions, about a trillion naira, and they're supposed to make about five tranches of 200 billion naira for the following 5 years to be able to meet up that. And unfortunately, I think it was just for 1 year they were able to make that happen, and then the other years they haven't made that contribution to the country's tertiary institutions development. When you think about tertiary institutions in terms of funding, any remarkable difference that you've seen that will prevent us from going on strikes with the federal institutions in this year's budget?
The education sector, like any other social sector, right? What we've seen across, you know, over time is that governments, both at the federal level and at the subnational level, do not prioritize, you know, the social sector, health, education, you know, wash.
Right.
You would always find that for a lot of even subnational governments, right?
Right.
Less than 7% of their budget will go to these social sectors I had highlighted earlier. However, it's even worse with the implementation of the budget in these sectors. So that tells you that in the thinking of, you know, the political class,
right?
They do not see human capital development as an engine, you know, for growth and development of the economy. And that is reflected in their budget implementation report. So you would see that usually a lot of funding will go to areas that do not really have impact, right, on the lives of the average person. If you look at I'll just take you a little bit to the health sector. You know, a health security capacity assessment was done
right.
in 2019, and we had a ready score of about 46%. And that particular assessment was done to see exactly how the capacity of the federal government, right, would be to respond, you know, to prevent, detect, and respond to disease outbreaks.
Right.
And as it is, we are performing below 50%. There was a national action plan, right, to fund the capacity building of 19 technical areas under our health security capacity. We still have a funding gap of over $6 million for that particular plan. And the bulk of the funding, right, is supposed to come from development partners. While the development partners have tried to meet up with their own commitments in that plan, you would find that the state governments and the local governments have been defaulting. They do not prioritize budget line items that address this particular concern. So it's just an issue of what the political class or government prioritize.
Absolutely. And something I want to also get your opinion on is if this year's budget is sufficient to solve Nigeria's education problems. I know it's a big one, but if you look at all the key issues affecting the country's education sector is, and then you play side by side with the budget, what's your honest assessment of the chances?
I mean, if you consider the deficit, infrastructure deficit, you know, human capital deficits, right, in the sector, this is definitely not enough. However, right, you cannot spend what you do not have. So you cannot build your castles in the sky.
Right.
You would have to prepare your budget based on, you know, what your revenue projections are.
Right.
But if you marry side by side with some of the intent of the political class in the budget, you would see that the government could do a lot more to prioritize some of these social sector related expenditure line items. Right?
Right.
For instance, you have a situation, I know we had discussed it earlier in the earlier program.
Right.
Where across several MDAs, you would see projects, you know, that the federal government, for instance, has no business implementing. And you know that this project would have very little to, you know, contribute to poverty reduction or to even stimulate the growth of the economy.
Very true.
Look at how much we are spending on solar street lights. You go to communities across the federation, you can count the number of street lights that work. So why do we continue to allocate funding, allocate funds to the installation of street lights in communities, which, by the way, should be the obligations of local government. But you have the federal government, you know, meddling in the affairs of state government. Why, at this point, are we spending hundreds of millions of naira in building council halls? In a lot of these communities, they are probably fine with meeting in whatever old council hall that they have. They have other priority needs in those communities. They are, you know, they are dilapidated hospitals. The schools are, you know, in a state of disrepair and all of that. So how are you able to prioritize, you know, the needs of the communities all the way in Abuja?
Very true.
Right, without, you know, recourse to the persons who benefit from these social services.
Absolutely. And while we think about some of these things and in line with the country's national development plan, where perhaps the most significant and ambitious goal is to get 5 million children out of school, get the number out of school children, you know, cut it by at least 5 million in 2025, and then get at least 10 of the 100 institutions in the world to be Nigerian universities. We're going to open the phone line so that you can talk with Neil Bong. If you've got questions, you've got comments, would like to engage with you and hear what you think about the country's educational ambitions as well as how it relates with the 2022 budget. The number to call, 0700-993-993-993. Again, 0700-993-993-993. And then 01465-7190 is the female-only line. 01465-7190. And then you can also send us messages on WhatsApp, 0809-597-5805. Again, 0809-597-5805. You know, in your book, when you even talk about skill, when you did mention the National Development Plan, I often think if we factor in the numbers that we hope that we don't get any more children who are out of school in the years, then 5 million will be some significant number. But if you're going to have more children thrown in every other year into that basket of children who are not in school, it will mean that 5 million, for example, if you use the time value of what exactly 5 million is today, we'll probably be less than, we'll probably be 1 million equals 5 million in 5 years' time. What do you think about some of those fine points on education and the National Development Plan for on education?
You know, you're not even factoring in population growth.
Right.
So whilst you're trying to even reduce the number of out-of-school children by 5 million by that period,
right,
considering the existing infrastructure on ground,
right,
and human capacity on ground, or right, capital on ground,
right,
you would know that year in, year out, before you get to that time,
right,
you have more people, you know, getting into that framework, out-of-school children.
Very true.
Right, because the development indicators have not changed.
Mm.
They have remained the same for the last decade. In some instances, they are even worse.
Very
right?
true.
So there's nothing that suggests that the problem would cease for you to be able to make some gain. As time goes by, right, you
right.
still have more children.
Right.
You still have, you get, you know, more increase in the number of out-of-school children.
Mm.
It's not as if the problem is just lying or just laying in wait for you to make interventions. It keeps on increasing, especially in the light of the serious security situation we have up north, where kids now are not able to go to school. So you would expect that up until that anomaly or unrest is brought to a reasonable conclusion up north,
right,
the number of out-of-school children would be on the increase.
Very true. Inyobong, let's go to the phone lines. I see the lines are buzzing now. Let's see. Hello and good evening.
Hello.
Great. Just kindly turn down the volume of your... Hello, good evening. What's your name, please, and where are you calling from?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. What's your name, please, and where are you calling from?
Hello.
All right. Appears that this line isn't going through. All right, keep those calls coming in. And I can take also some messages here. Let's see who we have here. All right, so while the calls are coming in Yobong, you did mention something about the state as well as the federal government, that sometimes when you watch and observe things, it appears one is going in one direction and the other is going in the other direction. I'd like to get your thoughts on what the states are doing and what the federal government is doing, if they're working together in resolving some of these challenges, if you've seen any, but if there are more, like the UBEC situation, where schools aren't able to, where the states aren't able to draw on those counterpart funding, they haven't met the requirements.
So what we've seen, you know, over time is that there's very little coordination between the state government and the federal government, especially as regards the policy objectives in the National Development Plan.
Hmm.
As a matter of fact, you do know that the National Development Plan is supposed to, right, the state government, the federal government, and the private sector
right.
supposed to contribute, right, to that particular plan. So it's not the exclusive preserve of the federal government.
Right.
But if you look at some of the priorities of some state governments and juxtapose it with what the policy objectives for each of those sectors are in the plan, you will just see that they are probably going in opposite directions. There are some state governments that feel that rather than investing in education, they should build worship centers for their citizens.
Mm.
I mean, in a time where, right, the disposable income of, you know, parents have reduced, people are not able to, right, get employment. Instead of investing in productive activities, right, or investing in areas that can stimulate, you know, the economy of your state for people to be gainfully employed,
right,
we decide to prioritize investment in worship centers.
Hmm.
I don't know if the objective is to have people come and pray away their problems. And you have, that's just an example, you have state government investing heavily in vehicles, you know, for the political class and for bureaucracy in the state.
Hmm.
So very little is done to invest in the primary healthcare system for their state, and also for the educational system in the state. So if you look at the poverty level in a lot of the states,
right,
not much has improved over time. So it's when you now look at it on an aggregate, right, that you now see exactly how Nigeria is doing. So in terms of coordination between the state government and the federal government towards the achievement of this national development plan, I do not see a lot of coordination happening.
Not enough coordination. Big one there. 0700-993-993-993. Then you can also join in on WhatsApp, 0809-597-5805. Again, 0809-597-5805. It's our special on the education sector in partnership with the Wole Soyinka Center for Journalism. This is the first of a three-part series, and the first is focusing on the education sector budget. And Niyobong Usen, senior researcher and analyst, has been doing for us great work here in looking at what those figures were for last year, this year. We do a compare and contrast. Call in again if you can wish you can connect quickly. Right. And I was going to ask you, we haven't said much about the secondary schools. We've looked at the primary schools and the UBEC Wahala. We've looked at the tertiary institutions and needs assessment monies that have hardly ever been made available. I dare say those the 1 trillion naira a decade ago, but if you factor in inflation and exchange rate, probably is times two, times three, and the depreciation of assets in the institutions. That's what it is. But for secondary schools, but before we go to secondary schools, in your bung, let's see if we can get this call true. Hello and good evening.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you loud and clear. What's your name, please, and where are you calling from?
My name is Benga. I love the guy you brought on today.
Great.
Perfect explanation, beautiful, educating, interesting. I believe many people should be listening to things like this. We concentrate on the federal, not minding what is going on in the state. We believe federal is Nigeria. Most of the state governors don't have direction. You actually be buying vehicle for the judiciary and be fronting it when your education center is in shambles. You know, we neglect what we were supposed to be talking about in Nigeria. We just focus on federal. This state government have a lot to do. That's why they are doing all the things they are doing. They have no direction. I love your analysis. Beautiful presentation. People should have facts like this rather than just going about with fake information. God bless you.
All right. Thank you very much. And keep those calls coming in. Let's hear what you have to say. Discussion. So, Iniobong, just before we took in that call, we're looking at the secondary schools. What are your thoughts in respect to the budget?
So, say for the Federal Unity Colleges and the Federal Government Colleges, right?
Great.
The secondary schools are supposed to be managed by the state government. It's not the duty, right, of the federal government to manage the secondary schools, right, in respective states, apart from the federal government colleges and maybe some of the military secondary schools and the unity schools. So I do not think it's the duty of the federal government, right, to meddle in the affairs of states, especially as regards the management of the affairs in secondary schools. So that's left to the state government.
Absolutely, left to the state government, and we hope we can find answers in the respective states in seeing what they are. If you had like a tree in your bunga, you looked at the problems facing the education sector. You know the question I asked you some time back about the problems, whether this year's budget is enough to deal with the issues facing the sector. Would you say if you had top three problems facing the education sector, which will be the low-hanging fruit that you'd expect, whether at federal or at state level, to be dealt with? And we can say at the end of this year, we can come back and look and say, well, we did make some significant improvement in this. What problem will that be?
So for low-hanging fruit for me, first of all, I genuinely think that, right, this budget should be amended, especially as regards the allocation of projects to ministries outside their mandates, right?
Right.
The government needs to be able to create fiscal space within this current envelope, because we cannot, as it is, looking at our projected revenue, we cannot increase the budget, right? So spin things around, reallocate expenditure lines from some of these MDAs that have projects outside their mandate. An education sector related MDA should have no business with empowerment projects in communities. It should have no business building town halls. It should have no business building primary health care centers in communities.
Right.
You should have no business, right, buying kekes for individuals. You should have no business acquiring guest houses in Abuja, even if the school is located in Gombe.
Very true.
Right? We need to reprioritize, what the objectives of these health-related MDAs are, and push it towards R&D. R&D in this country is greatly underfunded, right? We've been confronted with several disease outbreaks over time. In country, we are supposed to have found local solutions to some of these problems. But we tend to rely on, foreign support that, also focus on their own needs, right? And I feel like a lot should go into research and development. A lot should be put into the system to ensure that the brain drain we're experiencing now would sort of be reduced or halted. If you look at some of the indicators, I like to always bring in the health sector because they are sort of related.
Right.
You look at the doctor to patient ratio. What we are doing now is about 38 doctors to 100,000 patients. You look at the nurses to patient ratio.
Right.
They are doing about 118 nurses to 100,000 doctors. And they are still living by the day. You look at universal health coverage, it's only at 5%. You look at maternal mortality rate, infant mortality rate, we are the bottom of the ladder. So we need to reprioritize, especially as it regards expenditure on critical line items, that have implications for the policy objectives in the education sector.
Absolutely, and very spot on. 0700-993-993-993. Now that I have time to ask you to call in, lines are acting up, but I hope that at some point it'll be fixed and so that we can get in as many calls as possible. The female line, 01465-7190. Again, 01465-7190. And then on social media at Nigeria Info FM at Public Square NG. Inyobong, you said something that a lot of people have been commenting on. I see that this thing about people, about the government MDAs receiving monies and then not being able to use up the monies and then returning, even when it's glaring that it's underfunding, especially in education. You've mentioned not enough schools, and then the schools don't have enough facilities, and it goes on and on. So what happened? Say 2021 budget, they weren't able to use up all the monies that they asked for and then returned, and then they asked for more the following year. What did you find as the major reason why they weren't able to use the money for what they asked for in the budget?
So we have not been able to get a definite answer to that particular question. However,
right,
they are pointers to the fact that probably it's because of some of the procurement guidelines are stipulated in the Public Procurement Act, that there are certain limits, right, that are given to MDAs, right, that they are not able to go beyond. And that causes a lag in the system. And you know that the public procurement law was enacted in 2007.
Right.
If you look at the budget size in 2007 and compare it to now, I'm sure the numbers have doubled. So it would mean that if that is true, although that has not been verified, it would mean that the law would need to be amended to sort of increase the procurement limit for some of these heads, so that these MDAs can utilize the disbursements to them. But we would do a lot of work, make some efforts to verify that particular claim on the approval limit for procurement.
I mean, it's such a shame when you think about if you're looking year in and year out that some of these problems facing the education sector will have to be dealt with yearly. And if you don't meet those targets, then it's going to keep compounding the problems, because what's been budgeted for hasn't been used up. But I'll get your thoughts more on this if we can get this call through. All right, still not able to get through. Right. All right, so while we mull over that and ponder over how on earth are we able to budget and at the end of the day not use that up, because it's crucial in being able to meet the education targets every year in dealing with those major challenges facing the education sector. What about the multilaterals in your bong? You say a lot of state governments are spending little and depending on multilaterals like the United Nations and subsidiaries to handle the educational needs. And it appears that it's on the increase, or is it on the decrease from what you've seen?
No, so there, a lot of state governments still receive donor support for critical social sectors.
Right.
However, what we sort of envisage moving forward is that there should be better coordination, especially among the respective MDAs as regards donor support.
Right.
So in a lot of the states we are working in, the complaints we get from the executives is that, and it's funny, is that the state government, right?
Right.
Or, I don't know how to put it, the state government do not have proper visibility on what donors are spending on, right? So
right.
Probably you have the Ministry of Health that accesses funding from the WHO
Good.
Or UNICEF for, you know, a particular activity. And the state government itself is not able to capture that donor support in its budget. And the implication for that is that a lot of the line items that these donors fund, right, you know, still find their way into the budget. So the MDAs are able to draw, you know, from two sources of funding, from the multilateral agencies and from the government, right? And since they're only required to report whatever, you know, is spent or from disbursement from the government, there's very little, right?
Right.
In terms of visibility, even to the state actors, you know, as to what exactly it is that development partners are funding in the state. In fact, in some states, they have resorted to using DSS officials to track the activities of donor partners in the state. That's how bad it is. So I don't understand how you would appoint, you know, a political head over an MDA,
right,
and you do not have control over what he does, especially as relates to his relations with multilateral agency.
I mean, that's really odd, in your bond, because when we have discussions with international donors, for example, on Public Square, and we ask them oftentimes a question about how they are collaborating with state actors, they say before they get into any area, they have meetings, consultations with the different levels of government in the state. And the states oftentimes is aware of what they are doing. So I find it really strange that, and this point you make is really, I think about it because I know a number of state governors that have come out, up in arms, accusing state multilaterals and international NGOs of taking over the running of their state and are just simply in this for making profit, but yet have no idea how much is being spent. I'm going to come back to you on this one. Let me see if we've had some luck with the phone lines. Hello and good evening.
Hello.
Great
good
to
evening.
Have you join us. What's your name?
My name is Aguma.
Okay, Aguma. Thank great you. To have you join
your
us.
Opportunity and thank your guest for all the explanation, the detailing and all whatnot. Actually, you made mention about the increasing the limit based on performance. But will you remember that the reason why limiting, putting a ceiling on the procurement level is because of corruption? Most of these are government, from local government, state government, they misappropriate funds for different things. You can see, instead of giving more to education, most of them go as far as taking care of diverting some of this money to security, not because of the level of security challenge. Every one of them want to buy vehicles, police. Despite the police have their own budget, there is no state government in this federation that have not a different, almost every year, not bought vehicles, ammunition for the security agents. And when we ask what happens to their own budget. Having said that, I don't know the role of central bank these days. Central bank is busy. I don't know the constitutional role of the central bank. They are busy doing something. I don't think that is their role. For instance, they are now in charge of the Reich pyramid. They are now in charge of seeing the super eagles. There are not many other things the governor of central bank is doing. All this, I think, is exposes corruption. I think there's something is wrong somewhere, because ordinarily, that's not the role of central bank in Nigeria. So I wish most of us, especially the people that are doing some other things, should focus on education, because the only thing we can do for our future, building our future, is to educate our people. If we educate our children, that is, if you look at those advanced countries, Korea, they don't have crude oil.
Right.
They don't have all these things. What they have is from even China. Look at China.
Right. Thank you.
It's investing in the youth.
Right. Thank you very much, Aguman. Very useful information, instructive. You want to react to any of the things that Aguman talked about?
Yes, I think I agree with him, right, that those procurement limits were there to limit corruption. However, you have to consider time value of money. How much was a bag of cement when those procurement limits were established? How much is a bag of cement now? If you look at the petroleum law,
right,
before we had this new petroleum industry act,
right,
there were fines of 10 naira that were still being implemented in 2019-2020 before this PIA.
Right.
So you would need to consider time value of money, especially as it regards procurement limits. That would just be my response on that.
Absolutely. And talking about...
Yeah, I'm sorry. And also with regards to the CBN, I forgot. Yeah. The CBN is supposed to be in charge of monetary policy.
Right.
Just monetary policy. But you see now they are not involved in fiscal policy, and they are articulated the several areas, right? That the CBN is, you know, interfering in, which I should, you know, ordinarily have no business, you know, interfering.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's see if we can get in another call. Hello. Good evening.
Hello.
Hello. Good evening. What's your name, please? Where are you calling from?
Hello.
Hello, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
Hello?
Hello, good evening.
Yeah, I am David by name.
Great, David. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Is it Nigeria Info?
Yes, you're Nigeria Info.
Okay. I want to talk about... one Sagoman just talked about CBN role in our constitution. Most of the problem we are having in Nigeria today is because we don't have a creative CBN governor. This is the worst CBN governor I've ever seen in Nigeria. I'm close to 50. The economy went down because of this CBN governor we have. He came in when Naira was around 100 and is it 80, 90 Naira. Naira.
Right.
Today, Naira dollar is about 500 and something, going to 600. He's not doing anything about it. And he discovered that this CBN governor is only interested in what comes to the banking sector, the stakeholders in the banking sector. He's not thinking of the masses.
All right. Thank you very much, David. Let's take in some more calls. Hello and good evening.
Good evening.
Great to have you join us, 99.3. What's your name, please, and where are you calling from?
This is Malik speaking from Modafin.
Malik?
Yeah, from Modafin.
Great to have you, Malik. Please go ahead.
You see one funny thing.
Mm.
What the Raman said, the Oracle said, is the main fact. I remember in 2014, on your same station, that they were talking about the CBN governor.
Mm.
Major Buddha called, voted him out.
Mm.
Voted him out on your station.
Mm.
Sincerely speaking, his economic team, it's zero. People might not believe. The CBN governor has a strong role to play in the economy.
Mm.
A strong role to play. And I'm surprised he's still there till date.
Mm.
Like I always say, we practice chicken politics. No matter you put different thing with a chicken, you must always cutter it. Thank you.
All right. Interesting analogy here from Malik. I'll take in this call and we get back to Neobonga Usen. Hello. Good evening.
Hello. How are you?
I'm brilliant. And this is...
Alex.
Great to have you, Alex. Join.
Yeah, how are you? Happy New Year.
Good.
Now, you see, your guest just confirmed something I've always said about the way we run our country.
Mm.
We run this country like a social club.
Mm.
A social club works only for members.
Mm.
If you're not a member of the social club, count yourself out.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
You see, we run our country. Our country is driven. Our economy is driven by contracts. Just if you have one uncle in the government, if you have your dad, if you have your this and this, like what this our man did with his children in Lagos, if you have, you know, if you have positions there, somebody can just say you want to bring 20,000 motorbikes that they want to share to this. Without any serious, you know, cerebral work being done as to how this money should best be spent. Go and bring 20,000 solar lights.
Right.
Go and do this, do that. You know, that's the way we run our country. And again, we cannot progress that way. We cannot progress that way. For us to come, because when another person comes,
right,
when another administration comes,
right,
the social club changes. And then the whole thing starts all over again.
Right.
How do we make progress?
How do we make progress? Alex, rhetorical question. Ineobong, how do we make progress? Your final thoughts today?
We need serious fiscal governance reforms.
Mm.
There's a lot wrong with, you know, transparency and accountability, right?
Mm.
Persons that have erred, you know, in holding public office, right, have not been, you know, used as deterrents for other people. So it's like it's free for all, right?
Mm.
Everybody comes in, takes their part of the kitty, and they leave, right?
Mm.
Up until there's a strong accountability mechanism in place, right?
Right.
That allows, you know, the system hold people accountable. There's very little progress we can make. We'll just be spending money year in, year out, and we'll either remain where we are or even decline as you know, we currently are experiencing or seeing. So there need for, you know, very robust reforms across the public financial management spectrum in the country.
Right. Absolutely. And a great way for us to end the discussion with you, Ineobong Usen, who is a senior research and analyst with Budget. And we're still in Ineobong for over an hour now to talk about first with the budget, with IOB on ideas, and then on this education sector discussion, which is... our discussion this evening. First off, for a three-part series, we have it in partnership with the Wole Soyinka Center for Journalism, and we focus today on the budget. At the top of the hour, Rotimi Sankore will join in where we can have a big-picture analysis of the education sector and the problems we face. Great having you in your bunk. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me and have a great day.
And you too, have a fantastic weekend. All right, so that's it. We go on a quick break. We come back. It was time for the news headlines. And after the news headlines, we can then have Rotimi Sankore in the square and then have some big picture analysis. Stay with us at 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Exciting and stimulating talk.
Do you think Nigerians should be protesting? Is there a need for protest?
99.3 Nigeria Info. Just number one for talk.
Information at its peak. This is 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm listening.
It's 5 o'clock. The headline news on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Info.
99.3 Nigeria Info, this is the news headlines. I'm Binga Oreshagun. The Lagos State Police Command has said that a combined team of police and other security agents have been deployed to Dumota and its environs on Lagos Island to quell the gang fights that erupted in the neighborhood on Thursday. Lagos State Waste Management Authority has embarked on a two-day enforcement operations at the Lekki axis of Lagos. Now we head to Bayelsa State, where we hear that the State Commissioner for Industry, Trade and Investment, Federal Otokoto, has been kidnapped by gunmen. Kogi State Governor Yaya Bello is promising not to betray Nigerians if he gets the opportunity to be the next president of Nigeria in 2023. Vice President Yemi Osinbajo has called for a waiver on the intellectual property rights to allow African countries to produce COVID-19 vaccines. The University of Lagos, UNILAG, has developed a portable and easily deployable ventilator. The United States and Russian delegates have met for talks in Geneva over mounting fears that Russia could be about to invade Ukraine. And England will face Ivory Coast at a Wembley friendly on the 29th of March. And that was the news headlines. Public Square is up next.
Public Square. There are several lines that meet at the edges.
Youth of this country who are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margin. Sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To the extent of this impeachment, if Parliament does not raise this money.
And controversial.
If driving to the roads is engaging the macabre dance, compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Arogo Obo at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
All right, welcome back to the Public Square, 99.3 Nigeria Info. It is a hectic day. Traffic in the heartland of Lagos. The politicians are making life miserable for commuters. But you can fasten the seatbelt in traffic and turn on your radio and continue the discussions and around the country's education sector in Public Square. In case you just joined in, we've been having discussions about the 2021 education budget and how it affects us. We've had budget in Yobongusen has been great in the last 1 hour, looking at what has been their snapshot dashboard and do a compare and contrast of what the issues are, and some real interesting findings he's brought to our notice in the square. And so Rotimi Sankore joins in now. We have big picture analysis coming up straight ahead. Rotimi,
hello.
Great discussion so far.
Yes, it is. I mean, without any doubts, everyone should know, or I hope everybody knows, that the future of every country is highly dependent on how much is invested in education in the country. I mean, that's the long and short of the importance of education.
Right.
You know, I mean, multiple levels of education, multiple types of education, primary, secondary, tertiary, and even at tertiary level, technical education, and of course, vocational training. Unless all the tiers of government, federal, state, and local governments, see, understand, and coordinate their roles on all this, the sum total of everything you have is failure. Mm. And out of that failure is going to arise economic collapse, poverty, and conflict. And that's where we are heading now.
Absolutely. And it's something that we must run away from as quickly as possible. All right, so Rotimi, I guess we can begin our big picture analysis straight away.
Yes, Ahoho. I mean, before I do so, I mean, permit me to join you in thanking our partners at the Wolesho Inca Center for Investigative Journalism. I mean, the REMOP series, which they supported, which is a series of special reports on education. I mean, last year we discussed the electricity sector, power sector. The REMOP sector also supported a series of reports on education, which, if you would like to have a look at them and understand what they're about, please go to the website of the Wolesho Inca Center for Investigative Journalism, or just follow them on Twitter at Wolesho Inca Center. Then you can see really how deep and how serious the education calamity in Nigeria is. I will be speaking to the content of some of those reports, as well as some of the data that you and I have been speaking about over the last period.
Right.
Then let me just add that because Monday is Education Day, next week we will have new data on education. Mm. So please look out for it on next week's Public Square, next Friday.
Right.
4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Mm. Mm. Now, let me try and answer some of the questions some of the callers have called while you were speaking with the colleague from budget, or even some of the issues that he raised, wittingly or not. So, the first is, do the funds exist for better funding of education? The answer is yes.
Mm.
Because often people say you can't spend what you don't have,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, so forth like that. Do the funds exist? Yes. The funds are currently being misused, abused, and generally not being used for what they should be used for. I mean, can you imagine listening to a Neobon from budget? Can you imagine sitting down in Nigeria with the state of our education sector and hearing that year after year, the education budget is not exhausted?
Unbelievable.
Or it is not fully utilized. When you talk about political criminality, it does not get worse than that.
Mm.
Just listen, yo. The federal government says that there are just over 10 million children out of school. With this footage, the figure we know from their own official data is 13 million plus. They claim they reduce it by 3 million during the period of COVID, when schools were closed and when the federal, state governments and local governments did not build schools for 3 million children. So you can imagine in that kind of scenario where the education budget is not fully deployed. What do we call that? Is it incompetence? Is it lack of planning capacity? What exactly? Let me try and answer one or two of those questions in a way that people can understand. First of all, even the money that is allocated, which is not enough, is not being maximally utilized. Problem one. Problem two, enough money is not even invested in the sector to start with. Now, is the budget needs-based? No. And when I say needs-based, what does that mean? So, let us go with the federal government's analysis or claim that there are 10 million children out of school and not 13 million. So, what is the solution to that problem from them? When you are doing budgeting in development, it must be needs-based. And that means the budget must address the problems. So for the 10 million children out of school, which they claim, UNESCO and UNICEF, the two global development agencies that are the lead custodians of global education policy, their recommendation is that class sizes be 20 to 25. So let us take 25. And take the federal government's figure of 10 million out of school. If you divide that 10 million by 25, where are the 400,000 classes, classrooms that that demands? Has the federal government said there are 10 million children out of school, and if you divide that 10 million by 25 per class, we need 400,000 new classes? Where is that statement of intent from the federal government? Nowhere to be found. In other words, they know that that 10 million, according to them, is going to get worse year by year, and they are doing nothing about it except claiming falsely that the number was reduced by 3 million in the era of COVID. Now, it's not only to tell us, by the way, assuming they even know or care, that they need 400,000 new classrooms. The 400,000 new classrooms also need 400,000 teachers, also need 400,000 teaching assistants, also need 400,000 computers and tablets, and so forth to go with it. Where is the mention of that? It's not mentioned anywhere. The federal government says they have UBEC fund. States are not accessing the UBEC fund. So what happens to the UBEC fund that is not accessed? No leadership from federal government. President Buhari made one correct statement in an interview, in two interviews he granted to channels and NTA in the new year. He said, ask the state governments what they are doing muzzling the local government funds. So he knows there is a problem. But what is he doing about the problem? Apparently, nothing. What is going to be the consequence? Let us take the president's home state in Katsina, where Governor Masari stood on a platform with his Commissioner of Education and UNICEF officials during the COVID and told us that according to his own government's counts, there are about 1 million out-of-school children in Katsina State.
Mm.
That is the Katsina State official figure. So where are the 40,000 classrooms and the 40,000 teachers that are needed? This is a governor negotiating with bandits.
Mm.
He is telling us he doesn't know where some of those 1 million children are going to end up in the future. I mean, lastly, on my opening remark, let me mention a bigger disaster. The Minister of Education told us that there are 60 million Nigerians that cannot read or write. So what are they doing? 60 million adults that cannot read or write. So needs-based assessment and budgeting. If the Federal Ministry of Education knows that, in collaboration with the states, should they not be saying, oh, we need vocational schools, training institutions and classrooms for these 60 million.
Mm.
First, to teach them basic literacy. Then, secondly, to teach them anything they are interested in learning, what we call handwork or what is share if you are in Lagos, where we are.
Mm.
What will that mean, Ahoho? That will mean that 2.4 million adult literacy and vocational classrooms need to be built, along with 2.4 million teachers and instructors, along with whatever it is they will need to learn the vocational training. So if they are learning plumbing, you have the plumbing teachers and equipment. If they are learning electrician, you have the same there. If they are learning mechanic, you have the same. 2.4 million classes and vocational instructors required. Where are they? Nowhere to be found. Will the problem get worse? Of course the problem will get worse. Why? Because 7.5 million children are estimated to be born in Nigeria every year over the recent years.
Mm.
Primary school enrollment is 5 million. Primary school enrollment is 5 million. That means millions of children don't start primary school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, note, by the time you get to secondary school, 70% of the 5 million that started primary school have dropped. How do we know this? Because when you look at the NECO, WAEC, and JAMB figures,
right,
it averages between 1.4 to 1.8 million. So roughly 3.5 million have dropped. So when our colleague is reading on the news just before we commenced this o'clock, that Agbero we are fighting in Lagos, they haven't seen anything.
Mm.
I am telling you, there will be civil war between factions of gangs and Agberos in Lagos in the coming years if this matter is not addressed. Thankfully, the Lagos State government has mentioned that they are going to start a policy that addresses it. But is the policy and budgeting to scale? Is it to scale? Because this is the problem. No understanding, no appreciation, no focus on scale. Mm. You will see a governor in a state where 40 or 50,000 classrooms are started. Mm. The governor will go and launch a school that has 30 classrooms, and people will be clapping for him. 30 classrooms out of 40 or 50,000 classrooms needed. Proportion.
Right.
Political criminality all around. And then they will turn around and say they need helicopter gunships and Tucano to go and bomb the children that they did not send to school when the bandits have recruited a significant percentage of those children.
Mm.
Then they will start a fake debate. Yeah, you can't develop without security. But what caused the insecurity?
Mm.
They need state police to solve the insecurity. Was it the lack of state police that caused the underdevelopment, or incompetence and corruption at the state and local government level, and lack of leadership at the federal level?
Mm, mm, mm.
So these are the things we have to consider. Because if we don't, the current generation, who already are worse off than us.
Right.
Their lives will get even more worse.
And you know, Rotimi, when we talked with Inio Bong about the budgeting for the different levels, and he highlighted the problem with the primary school system, where the states cannot meet counterpart funding through UBEC, and this has been going on for several years. And the tertiary institutions are not even any better.
Who said the state can't? The state has the resources. It is not their priority.
Absolutely, not their priority.
Those governors have security budgets, which essentially is a personal piggy bank.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you take a look at the tertiary institutions also too. NITS assessment over a decade ago had put at a trillion naira, and they still haven't been able to give the country's tertiary institutions even up to half that amount of money, which has been the major reason for the strikes every year.
If the 5 million children that enroll in primary school a year,
yes,
take JAMB and WAEC and want to do technical or academic at polytechnic or university level, can you imagine what it will be like if the 5 million that start at primary actually finish secondary? So really, at the federal level, a lot of the politicians are thanking their stars, in quotes, that only roughly 1.4 to 1.8 million get to the level of JAMB every year. Why do I say they are thanking their stars? Because even now, of all the children that pass JAMB,
right,
half of those that pass, there is no place for them.
Very true.
Now, it is also what you call fool's paradise. Because the kids that don't start primary or start primary and don't transit to secondary, which currently are over 2 million a year, where are they going to end up? Where are they going to end up? The number or percentage estimated to destabilize any society is roughly 5% of any generation that suffers social exclusion. That are just roughly 5%. So if 2.5 million are illiterate from every year of school,
right?
If 2.5 from every year of school, all you need to destabilize any society is about 1.2 million. Sorry, it's about 120,000.
Very true.
From every set of school. Now, multiply that by 10. 120,000 times 10. Then it gives you an idea that every year that problem is going to get worse. And that is the school children. If you take from the 60 million unable to read and write, that number is roughly 3 million. So if roughly 5 million take up banditry, extremism, gangs, and so forth. Look, there is a group of boys in Lagos who are very imaginary. As far as cult or gang go, they are seeing the future. They very imaginatively name themselves 1 million boys. They are seeing the future better than the government.
Oh dear.
Their mathematical projection skills are, of course, they are not 1 million, but when they hit 1 million, number is more than the combined forces of all the soldiers and police in this country. 1 million. I don't know if people understand that all the armed forces in the country are about 500,000. And when you have police, civil defense, everything, it's not up to 1 million. And with just one gang, aspirationally, just one, names itself 1 million boys. We're not talking of the rest. Ha.
Oh dear.
Yeah. You know, it'd be like, you know, country without government.
All right. All right, Rotimi, we're going to go on a quick break very soon. And when we come back, we will take in calls from as many people as possible who can get through. I'll let you into the numbers when we come back from the break. Everyone also can go on to social media, different platforms at Nigeria Info FM, at Public Square NG, at Rotimi Sankore, at Awoho Obu. And I think, Rotimi, when we come back, we're also taking WhatsApp. Yes, WhatsApp 0809-597-5805. Again, 0809-597-5805. I see Tony from Birmingham in Alabama already typing away. When we get back, we'll take in all those messages. All right, 99.3 Nigeria Info Public Square. Our focus today on education concerns every one of us, and we'd love to see a better system. When we come back, we'll look at what we can do for ourselves. Please stay with us.
Public Square, we'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is The Public Square.
All right, it's 21 minutes to 6, 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Awoho Obo, together with Rotimi Sankore in the Public Square. We will open the square to the millions of listeners who tune in every week to hear what we have to say. The number to call is 0700-993-993-993. Again, 0700-993-993-993. And then female only line 01465-7190. Again, 01465-7190. And we...
may I just chip in, looking at the time?
Right.
I mean, that was a pretty long adset.
Absolutely.
That run.
Yes.
Please, if you are calling, you can't get through. Now that you have your freedom of expression back on Twitter...
Yeah.
Please, you can ask questions or engage on Twitter. I'm at Rotimi Sankore. The station is at Nigeria Info FM. Aho is at Aho Obo. So please engage if you can't get through on the phone line. This is an ongoing discussion. International Day of Education is next week. And next week, on next week's program, we'll bring you new data. I mean, if you thought what we are discussing today is bad, just tune in next week at 4 to see the federal and state and geopolitical zone data.
Absolutely. Let's get into the phone line straight away, and then I'll get into all those messages. Everyone, just 1 minute, so we can take in as many calls as possible. Let's go. Hello and good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Yeah, great to have you join us. Your name, please, and where are you calling from? Hello. Yeah, but wait, you're going to have to call back because the quality isn't good. Hello and good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Great to have you join us. Your name, please, and where are you calling from?
It's Leke. I'm calling from Chagan.
All right, Leke, talk to us.
Okay, I'm just wondering, with all these analysis and all the breakdown, I don't want the poor government. Is all this thing you science. I don't know. I mean, if you know that you know how capacity to do it, and look at the way analysis all this. Can you just buy someone that can, you know, put it through and all these things, every day this thing goes getting worse. What? As if you can't even do it at all as a country. Meanwhile, you have extra, you have things that can be successful. It's not a when you are in government, you can do this. But being in government and trying to do and something you can't, not capacity to do. And there are things that can happen to do it, but you can't get charged. You're just claiming, I don't know.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Leke, for your candid thoughts and opinion. Hello and good evening. Hello and good evening. Okay. All right. Hello and good evening.
Hello. Good evening. Good evening, sir.
Great to have you join us. Your name, please, and where are you calling from?
My name is Mazu. We're calling you from Edo. You see?
Go ahead, Mazi.
Because I said this thing many years ago at Abuja Modern Market. Ask the country, when I have the document down, I said, why are you killing people? Why are you killing our people? I don't know what big problem. It's easy to know what big problem. When you know what big problem is, solve problem.
Mm.
Why are you killing people?
Mm. If you know the problem, then you can solve it. Let's go on WhatsApp quickly. Tony said, I see now WhatsApp I go start with. All right, yeah, so I see you on WhatsApp. Tony from Birmingham in Alabama. He says, Nigeria's problem is not hinged on the amount of money budgeted for any sector, but on the excessive stealing by the political class and their cronies. Good afternoon. We hear you. Tony, who says also that politicians should at least remember that God, who is the ultimate judge, will surely judge each and every one accordingly. And which to add that God doesn't wear agbada or babariga, so he doesn't would accept bribe from Nigerian rulers. Thank you very much. Peter Ayorinde says, I'm always attentive when Okurutimi comes online because he comes to issues with data and realities rather than the God will do it brain deployment, anyhowness, manners, and inshallah, mediocre method. We use a strategic thought for development planning. Mr. Sankore, I know how education makes people spread gossip, but if a governor is listening, how does this gap in education vision and planning cause fake news prevalence despite educated two spreading it? This is Steve from Ikorodu says, good evening. At times, I don't like listening to Mr. Rotimi, not because he's not making sense, but people don't heed to what he says all the time. Get annoyed and makes me believe that the government, even in Africa as a whole, don't want citizens to live in a better environment. Cosma says, I think the APC government has worsened the whole situation of things in this country, starting from the price of things like foodstuff. Parents are no more feeding their children properly, no talk of paying school fees. So we need to collectively vote out bad leadership come 2023. We hear you. Fire on the mountain, Reverend Dr. Olabi from Agbowa in Lagos says, help our leaders have consent for citizens. All right, let's get back to the phone lines. 0700-993.
I just mention quickly
right.
That if a country has 60 million adults unable to read or write, that number takes roughly 40 years to accumulate. So although the perception of the caller is that it is getting worse under this government, it started about 40 years ago.
Absolutely.
Now, if you don't know, about 40 years ago, the current president was also in government. So,
right.
So before you start saying that I'm trying to exclude him from the problem, no, not just him. Yeah. Many of them were governors in the mid-70s. And, of course, he was head of a military regime that overthrew the Shagari regime. So when I say it's taking 40 years to accumulate, I'm not saying that the current government is excluded.
Right, right.
You know, indeed, it is getting worse under the current government, but it didn't start today.
Absolutely. All right, taking some more calls. Hello and good evening. Hello and good evening.
Hello, good evening, Ahoho. I've been trying forever. Thank you so much, Mr. Rotimi Sankore.
Right.
It's a beautiful listen every time.
Thank you very much.
Now, you say next week the picture becomes bleaker.
Mm.
But I'm looking at it like this week's picture is already very bleak.
Mm.
So this domino or knock-on effect. My name is Ogo, by the way. I had to park somewhere in Onike to make this call.
Good.
So this domino knock-on effect of this illiteracy, as per the numbers you have presented, what it's telling me, correct me if I'm wrong, is that with this level of illiteracy, we're never going to have an informed electorate. That means that leadership as it is, as we know it today, might never change, except by some miracle, except by some divine overthrow. Okay, so based on the numbers, we're not going to have this. And I can't even put my thoughts together because we've been battling traffic. When Enyo Bong was on line, you kept saying that the lines were bad. No, but it's because we've been in traffic, so I we couldn't even stop to make the calls. Now, some of the thoughts that came to me, for those who know, they say that it is from the time the schools were taken over by government, from the missionaries, that the education downturn, the fall in the literacy rate began to rise. Is that correct also? Private schools charge, like, I don't know, maybe 50 times what federal universities charge. Like I said, I'll just be dropping my thoughts as they come. So you're thinking, if you take your child that you've been paying $1 million for those who pay $1 million in school fees in secondary school, and then you take them to university, that's a federal university where we're paying, I don't know how much, yeah? So what is the correlation in that? Number, the other point I want to make is that when you look at the Okada drivers, because I've always had a passion for, like, one day I want a vocational school where you can train people. But then again, they require basic education. You look at them, they are 14. If you look into their faces, you actually take time. Forget the annoyance they cause on the road. You see that they're teenagers. They're young boys. And then if by chance, even the ones that are not young, because I'm very selective if I have to take a bike, and you ask them, why are you doing this? They say, I wish I had something else to do. Not once, not twice, but many, many times. And then I take you back to the private secondary schools that charge these millions. We have a case that is yet to be resolved of where we have cases, but just this one that came, you know, to the public domain, where children are being ill-treated in schools run by quacks. Like I said, I'll just drop my thoughts and hang up. Thank you again, sir.
Thank you very much. And I mean, plenty for us to think about. I think we're taking the last call, Rotimi, because we're pressed for time and how time flies in the square. Hello and good evening.
Okay, if we can squeeze, yes.
Yes, let's squeeze this one. Hello and good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Great to have you join us. What's your name, please, and where are you calling from?
Yeah, my name is Alex Ogundadigbe. I'm calling from Otta, in Ogun State.
Excellent. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my particular worry about all the figures that my colleague Rotimi has reeled out is the states. You see, we have a lot of focus on the federal government, what the federal government is not doing. But you find that at state level, very little attention is being paid to what governors do. I'll give you an example. I know a state, for instance, where a governor has not paid polytechnic lecturers for 9 months. Meanwhile, in his hometown, he's building a new house. Not just a house, a castle. So you can imagine what will be going on in states around the country. Now, we have to evolve a mechanism where we will keep watch over our governors, make them accountable. But there's one major problem there. These people have immunity. What can we do about this?
All right.
That's my submission.
Thank you very much.
Is this Alex that used to work at Punch?
This is Alex that used to work at Punch.
How are you?
My brother, I'm fine.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and a great reunion. So, Rotimi, we have just about 2 minutes to go.
Yes. on Twitter, too. Let me just take one. Samson Grace Tolulope. I mean, he's saying, listening to Nigeria Info right now, education sector needs an overhaul. Yes, it does. And to underline what Alex was saying, at local government and state level, the lady that called before Alex was asking, was it when the government took over the school system at primary and secondary school? Was no. No, because all governments at local and state level, their education planning needs to keep up with the population growth, regardless of who owns which schools at what time. So every year, the number of children, so the projection now is that in about, okay, let me just mention something a bit frightening.
the federal government has omitted, in quotes, omitted family planning from the national budget 2022. What's the implication? It means that the 7.5 million children being born now, roughly 2 million to 2.5 will be added over the next period. So in a year or two, it will be 9 million, 9.5, maybe 10 million children being born a year. Primary school enrollment is 5 million.
Right.
The deficit will get worse. Is that because private government took over private schools? No. It is because the coordination of government policy, from education to family planning to everything, has failed to teach training. So it's always the big picture. That's why we say we do big picture analysis.
Very true. And,
unfortunately, you are saying we have run out of time.
Right.
But please, for the new data at state, geopolitical zone, national and international level, which will be out next week.
Right.
Please join us next week, Friday on 99.3, 4 p.m. And we hope that the public education and awareness will be worth it.
Absolutely. And thank you very much, Rutubi, and all the resource persons from IO who joined in with ideas. And very thank you. A big thank you to Inyobong Usen. We'll have
and the Show Inca Center.
The Wole Show Inca Center, of course, for the great work they're doing. The first of three, so there's still two more to go. If you still want to listen to this, go on nigeriainfo.fm. Listen again. You can listen to this episode and several others. We have the news update, and after the news update, we have Sammy and Ifeanyi coming with music and moments. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.